Blog Talk Radio.
First World Order Radio, finally, we are on the air, no doubt. All right. There's always going to be somebody in the building on First World Order Radio. We get on into some of that order consciousness tonight. First World Order Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. We got to talk about what is taking place on the planet. There's always going to be somebody in the building on First World Order Radio. First, we need to let you know we're going to be doing more shows, giving out more information on Wednesdays. Wednesday at 8 o'clock, we are now going to make this is the hottest day of the week.
Proceeding levels in time, order, importance. The most prominent parts, voices, or instruments. Earthly state of human concerns and existence. An indefinite multitude, quantity, or distance. System regulates to bring about specifics in the room based on value and natural characteristics. Current radiates electromagnetics of sound through the air, same as your thoughts transmits it. Proceeding levels in time, order, importance. The most prominent parts, voices, or instruments. Earthly state of human concerns and existence. An indefinite multitude, quantity, or distance. System regulates to bring about specifics in the group based on value and natural characteristics. Current radiates electromagnetics of sound through the air, same as your thoughts transmits it.
You need to understand how magical this, something like this every Wednesday can become. So you need to start getting your calendar right, get your schedule right. You need to know our intention straight out.
All right, so, I mean, these clues are given throughout the various languages was to piece the puzzle of this ancient mystery school back together again.
And what we plan on doing, both of us, is bringing y'all some surefire dynamite. We're going to take this level up a notch. We're going to have stuff to do here. This is not just going to be about philosophies and theories. Shit that works.
You have activated pioneer brain in which I produced this black chemical called melanin.
What we did was gave a hard line in the sand between the different definitions of esoteric study and exoteric study. Playtime is over.
Eha Ate, Washita East. This is Brother Fahim Rutring Ale speaking. I'm filling in for Dr. Aline Eel Bay for the night. And I'm continuing the nationality and birthright of Moors, part two. He was cut off last time, so now I'm going to try to finish a part two lecture tonight. And let me begin. I hope everything is well with you and yours and your family and loved ones tonight. All right, let me begin the lecture. Okay. It says here, and again, we're dealing with the lesson number two of Nationalizing Birthright by Taj Tariq Bey. All right? So let me continue on. All right. It says here, untoward colonial ordinances. Most dark and light olive Asiatics using the labels Negro, Black, Colored, Latinos, etc. are mistaught and unconscious to the common standards of knowledge that form government and law, yet are familiar with hearing the words law and ordinance. Little do the masses know how pervasive and invasive the words law and ordinance are in their lives. They, black-branded people, parentheses, are familiar with the words nation and nationality, yet are instructed firmly to disassociate these words with themselves. They are coercively taught not to apply these words to themselves when addressing public or lawful affairs. They are, you know, to comment on that, yes, we are every day, you know, it's ingrained in a lot of our people to refer to themselves as black or people of color or African Americans, as the terms are commonly used by our people today to identify them, identify themselves with these terms instead of more Asiatic or Aboriginal, Indigenous, and so on. Okay. Through generations, they are taught to call themselves, first they will call themselves Negroes, colored, you know, now black, you know, African-American, and people of color. But the words black, African-American, and people of color are the most common used term today, as we all know. Okay, let me go on. This self-defeating and politically counterproductive activity has routinely been taught to the defeated Moors by the Union States of America, by the Union of States, foreign European colonists, and by those who accept their teachings. There, the states' motive of intent and mission is to maintain the currently accepted false history and their foul and de facto government's control of our land, our Moroccan, parentheses, and our most precious resource, our children. He says here, the word ordinance, ordinance. The origin of the word ordinance is from the Moorish Latin ordinaire. Ordinaire means to ordain or arrange, to appoint, to appoint a person to change or duty to consecrate, officially to establish as a law, to order, to fix, to command with authority, etc. Religious orders and states, political associations and guilds use and issue ordinance to govern and rule over their citizens and their subjects. Ordinances are generally recognized in an organized society as, number one, an ordained rule called a law, made and issued by a representative government body or person in delegated sovereign authority. Number two, an ordained rule called a law, issued and enforced as the law by a state, municipality, city, corporate group, or other organized association, institution, or community claiming legal or lawful sovereign authority and self-government. Number three, an ordained rule called law, issued with any organized association, corporation, club, religious, order, etc., for ceremonial or initiation purposes, etc. Granted that the colonial state instructed masses, especially the economical and society oppressed state slaves, see the word ordinance as meaning moral, lawful, and legal rules. The suppressed and the labeled Moors submit to the state ordinances without the knowledge that these ordinances and those who issue them have no lawful sovereign jurisdiction over the Moorish people. The colonial states, the European people, and their descendants are aliens to the land and are foreigners to the people of the land. Sovereign authority or law which rules over a people can only lawfully emanate from themselves. This is natural. This is nature's law. Alien enforced ordinances by the colony states constitute slavery and nothing less. To inspire more correct understanding and thinking among the state's enslaved and labeled blacks and free Moorish people, let us expose the colony states' commonly used word, ordinance, by removing the veil of the propagated ignorance from it. Ordinance is one of the key words used in the Union States' rights, lucrative color of law, and bureaucratic slave ward system. When they say slave ward system, ward, it's the same word used for slave. Sometimes they use slave, sometimes they use the word ward, like the United States, okay, although America is the country, or Morocco is the country. as I said before in the Wednesday lecture, that America is the corruption of Al Morocco. We are Al Moroccans, although today known as Americans. Okay? Like China, okay? China is the corporate ward state. Country actually is Manchuria. Most Chinese don't know that. Most, believe it or not. Believe it or not, most Chinese don't even know that. That they are Manchurians and not actually Chinese. Okay, let me go on. The victims support and submit to these colony ordinances out of sheer ignorance of their purpose and origin. State-ordained and enforced slavery is and has been extremely successful in the Union State Society of America, mainly due to the blind faith practiced by the slaves themselves and their faith in the system. To tell the average branded person in society that slavery in the states never ended but was bureaucratized, supported, and ordained by the church would be like waiting for snow in summer on the Yucatan Peninsula. Get that right. The forced literacy policy of the church and state communion in colonial state history has proven remarkably successful to a fault. The slaves are under the romantic spell or love it. The ordinances of the Union of States governments are designed and used in instruments of economic and physical war against the indigenous Moors, parentheses, labeled black, Moorish Latin, okay? Due to the lack of knowledge of self, history, geography, and records of war, many enslaved descendants of the Moors falsely believe that the only language of the Moors was Arabic. The ancient Moabite Moors developed and spoke Latin, hence Moorish Latin. Arabic was later developed and spoken by the ancient Al Moroccans, or you can say today known as Americans. Okay? Contrary to popular belief, the European colonists did not bring Latin to the western shores of the Almoracs. The Latin language and Moroccan people were already and always here. After the defeat of the Imperial Moorish Empire of the West, the conquering Franciscan Brotherhood officially adopted Moorish Latin as their own, which is what they call Roman Latin. Misnomered. That's because the word Roman Latin, I mean, the two words Roman Latin is a misnomered two words. It's Moorish Latin for those that didn't know. Okay? Okay, let me go on. They dropped or wrote out of the records that Moorish and the word Moorish and kept the word Latin. Moorish Latin was often referred to as a dead language. Well, you know why that is, especially when they're dealing with courts and court procedures, dealing with cases that most Moors, especially dealing with traffic infractions. That's why they don't want you to know the language, to keep us from defending ourselves in these courtrooms, so-called courtrooms anyway. Most of them are mock courts. They're not actually courts at all. You have only two courts by the Constitution, the civil courts and criminal courts. There's no such thing as a traffic court. It do not exist. Nowhere in the Constitution you see a court called traffic court. You won't find it because it's not there. And if it's not constitutional law, which is the supreme law of the land, then it is not law. Okay, let me go on. Okay. The word black and Negro means stagnant and death and were applied to the defeated Moors. All upper-level educational institutions in the West require the mandatory study of Latin. The Romans Franciscans used the word ordinance to protect their canon laws. Canon is an ecclesiastical rule or law enacted by the council or other religious church authority. The books of the Bible which are officially accepted by the church are also called canons. In the context, ordinance means all is related to canon or ordained rule of law or law. The direct descendants of the Romans in the Almoracs, Americas, parentheses, are the European peregrinus or pilgrim, colonists. The word colony was later substituted for the word state. Oppressed indigenous Moors never forget that the words colony and state are synonymous, parentheses, the same. In social politics of the Union State Society, U.S. of A. Oppression, coercion, and theft through de facto government fostered an adhesion contracts and convened laws as the lifeblood of the colonist state's power. Therefore, in truth, there is no separation of church and state. They are one. If you don't believe it, go to any city hall where anyone want to get married, and you want to be, they'll tell you, well, before you go to the Lord, you have to see us first. You have to see a judge, or what you call justice of the peace. Then you can see the Lord. Now, what did that tell you? There is no such thing as any politics without a little bit of religious being involved in it. There's no such thing as religion without politics being involved in it. They all one and the same. Okay. Let's go on. Oppression and coercion and theft through de facto government, fostered adhesion contracts, and legal law is the lifeblood of the colonial state's power. Therefore, in truth, the state is no separation of church and state. They are one. Thus, from the church's canon law and ordinance of the Franciscan Brotherhood, the Roman Catholic Church, parentheses, came the deceptive and coercive ordinance laws of the slave-holding states, towns, cities, municipalities, and courts of the Union State Society of America. Now, let's go to the word romance. Okay, in this book, it says there, Moors should be well aware that the word romance is not by origin relative to love. And it's not, believe me. Romance is a subversive tactical military maneuvering system of intrigue. Romance is also an exaggeration, misinformation, or falsehood. Romance is as a military strategy, as was one of the psychological war tools used against the Moorish Empire of the Western Hemisphere, Almoroc, parentheses. Romance is in reference to things or acts initiated by or through the Roman rulers, Roman citizenry, Roman influence, the church, Inquisition, etc. All right, here we have here what they call blind faith. Blind means the inability to see or perceive a thing thought or principle. Faith is being without proof, trusting without tangible insurance. Blind faith, mind control systems have demonstrated a willingness of the masses to assist in their own abuse and subjugation by well-trained charlatans and religious god sellers. Blind faith and ignorance as social engineering and caste system controls is vital to any tyrannical state. Takes the institutionalization of naive thinking in the minds of the people. Yes, it has, through generation to generation to generations. Okay. One of the commonly used cliches to inspire the blind faith masses into unjust wars, self-destructive activities, and unfair abuses of others is, do it for God and country. This word God symbolizes the divine creator of the masses. The word country symbolizes the sovereign state of the masses. The truth is that the masses have never been told the truth of what qualifies the word God or the political process and qualifications for a sovereign state or its limit of authority. Neither the church or the state is true to what they profess or what the masses believe or perceive them to be. This is called blind faith. Okay. Let's go on. The other ordinance and spell ordinance. Okay. Ordinance played a major role in the New World of European beginnings in the Western Hemisphere and continues to play the same role today. When the Franciscan Brotherhood Roman Catholic Church overthrew the Moorish Empire of the West, they used what is a military call ordinance. The difference in spelling between the word ordinance and ordinance is that the letter I is dropped from the letter. From the latter, okay? The word ordinance is spelled without the letter I. Still sounds the same, yet the meaning has changed drastically. The letter I is the ninth letter in the alphabet. In Masonry, the number nine represents the Moabite Moorish woman. The number nine also means the geometrical great seal, which it does. Okay, the number nine, I know in the Nation of Islam, they use the call, the number for the woman, and what they call the MGT, meaning Muslims Girl Training. That's what it means. And dealing with the MGT, other women in the Nation of Islam, they used to call their dress the number 19 dress, or the number 19 uniform for the women. One, meaning one for Allah, and nine for woman. Woman and Allah are one in the same, are one because the first woman on the planet Earth was woman. And woman is Allah herself. Believe it or not, hard for some brothers to swallow, but it is truth. And that's what I am here to bring you, is truth this night. Okay? Okay, here you have here, it has a scroll. It says church, the canon laws, ordain, tithing, communion, inquisition, black codes, slavery, the caste system. Some of these things have been ordained by the Romans. The Great Seal is the great pyramid and emblem of the ancient Moabite Moorish nation. The number nine is three squared of three. This constitutes the equilateral pyramid having three angles, three planes, each of three planes representing 120 degrees. That's deep, ain't it? All right, let me go on. The mission of the colonial state is to overthrow the Great Seal, the Moorish federal government that chartered them. Hence, the wasteful, greedy, and color of law forms of government and resource-devouring institutions initiated through states' representatives under the state's colonist government jurisdictions. This is why there is no clear or open public information or education which relates to the Great Seal and to the origin of the original continental United States. The continental United States of the Moors is the original and the first. The United States of America is only relative to the colonial union of states society, parentheses European, and to the secondary and usurpatory government of the Holy Roman Empire established in the defeated Moorish Empire of Al-Muraq continent, or you can say the word the continental United States or the continent, which means the continent. Continental represents the continent because the United States, the continental United States, you're talking about the continent, the United States of Canada, the United States of America, the United States of Mexico, the United States of Brazil, the United States of Colombia, and the United States of Venezuela, the United States of Chile, and so on and so on and so on and so on. That's what they mean. So this is a whole umbrella. You have the three continents, the North American continent, the Central American continent, the South American continent, and the adjoining islands. Okay, let's move on. The ordinance of the missionary, military churches are feudal, balanced out and enforced by the United States ordinances. The colonists proclaim ordination by God, God, meaning government, ordinance, departments. Let me repeat that again. God, meaning government, for G, ordinance for O, D for departments. Not the divine creator, as assumed by the ignorant, indoctrinated, and controlled masses. That is true. Let me continue on. Some of the canon laws, contributions, and ordinances from the conquerors of civilization include direct and indirect killing methods against all indigenous peoples, observing the spelling of the two words, ordinance and ordinance. Ordinance and ordinance. The letter I is dropped. We're going through this again now. Okay, now let us review and define the word ordinance. Ordinance mean military weapons of all kinds, cannons, guns, bullets, artillery, swords, military vehicles, germ warfare weapons, viral warfare weapons, enemy birth control systems, and equipped arms, armament, etc. Ordnance means machines, technologies, and systems designed and used for killing, maiming, infecting, controlling, or destroying a rival or enemy. Ordnance is used for destruction, war, genocide, and death, yet it is a subtle reduction of the canon word ordinance. In the politics of the church, the word ordinance means canon rules and laws ordained by the hierarchy of the Franciscan Brotherhood. The canon is church law. In the politics of the states, the word ordinance means ordinance, rule, and law by war. Ordinance is canon law, ordained by the Franciscan Brotherhood and enforced by the states. The war canon is states law. State rule over by force of arms, not by any moral code of law. Never forget this fact. Colonists have no moral code of operation. The church uses its ordinance or canon laws to rule the oppressed Moors, and the states use de facto ordinance, okay, or de facto ordinances of canon laws to rob and rule the oppressed Moors and label Negro, Black, Colored, Puerto Rican, Latino, Hispanic, etc. There is no separation of church and state, and there has never been, there are, or one. Observe the relationship of the words and break the spell. They always tell you there is no separation of church and state. That's what we are trying to get through the people's heads and the minds today. But you know how hard-headed they are. So, okay, I'm not going to go into that right now. So, let's go on. The church issues ordinances, canon religious law. The state issues ordinances. Ordinances, canon, gun law. The church and state cooperative union for going to and fro the earth, destroying and devouring nations. They rule the conquering Moors by ordinance or ordinance. Equals the church and state powers, equals ordained law by the gun canon. Canon and church and state both claim sovereign rights by God and country, acting as peacemakers, yet are actually the peace breakers. They avow the enemy and oppressors of all indigenous people. The church and state falsely claim to be separate, while fraudulently claiming to be operating in the people's best interests. What fiend love and deceptive concern this highly organized and unholy union robs the people's sovereign birthrights by force of arms, canons. It says here, the canon, law, and ordinance of the Union State Society, U.S. of A., Romans, fiend sovereign voting rights. The Union State's ordinances are designed and used to maintain the economic and social oppression, servitude, and control over the descendants of the defeated force. Through fraudulent acts, rules, regulations, laws, and completed taxation. All this without lawful representation. The defeated and branded Moors have never been allowed to exercise their sovereign rights or have mutually participated in the Union States government. They're getting ready to cut me off, so we're going to be very, 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 very short tonight. So I'm going to keep on going until they cut me off. All right. Why? Because the Moors are not and cannot be citizens in the Union States, and the Union States' colonists' sovereign claim as a fiction. The states are foreign corporation appendages, not the land. The only true and de jure natural citizens are the indigenous Moors. The Moors are we, the people of the land. The state, colonists, and are alien and should never be viewed as anyone or anything other than just that, foreign thieves. They unlawfully occupy the Moorish provinces, commonly known as the Americas. The passage of the time will never change as this fact. The natural law and sovereign power of the defeated Moors, branded Negro, Black, Colored, etc., has been always suppressed through and by the colonies, states using coercion and force. Even with the blindly respected Voting Rights Act, fraud is the fact. There is no such thing as a voting rights for any non-union citizens. Voting in the United States society for anyone other than the European Albion male is only limited by privilege. The Voting Rights Act can never be law in the United States of America and cannot be backed by the Constitution law. Voting rights implies sovereign participation on the part of the subjugated Moors. This is fraud. Okay. Even when the state slaves were to vote, they vote by privilege, not by right. They use the European colony family surnames. This, too, is an act of fraud on the slaves, not and is neutral of any true benefit at law. This is why there has never been any profound or lasting progress in the war communities. Irregulars of the number of voting participants. There is no firm or violent challenge coming from the European citizenry of the states concerning the fake Voting Rights Act, because they are well aware that the state wars have no sovereign power due to their status as corporate state property, artificial persons. Exactly. I mean, because you are carrying the brand names of your European slave masters, Johnson, Smith, and Jones. You know, you're carrying them, so you still tell them that you are their property, and property cannot vote. Therefore, you have no voting rights or power. It's only under a fraud that they tell you that. That's why nothing never really gets done in the Asiatic communities or so-called misnomered Black communities. Nothing never gets done. You never have any rights, because rights or constitutional rights do not apply to you. And it never will apply to you till you get your nationality and birthright then checked. And get your free national name and everything in checked. Okay? It says the lawful plebiscite. A plebiscite is the lawful and direct vote by qualified voters of a nation or a state. Plebiscite is from the ancient Moorish Latin plebiscitum. Plebi is a genitive, plebs meaning common people. Situm means decree or to know. Thus, plebiscite means that people have spoken and are decreed by sovereign vote, which they decree as law or rule by the de jure vote in the public civic arena by right. The corporate states, along with their municipal lawyers and officers, are very confident that the incorporated or well-compensated Black, Negro-appointed leaders will maintain the fraudulent state of mind among their trusting and willing ward believers, or slave believers, as you could say, for among the constituents to seek knowledge as a sin. Because that's why the so-called misnomered Black leaders are there for, to mislead the masses of the people. As Todd said one time on one of his videotapes, that why do you think corporations keep supporting them and funding them? Because they're carrying out their agendas for them, okay? To keep us dumbed down, okay? I'm not naming any names, but this is what your so-called Black leaders have done to our people. I mean, they do not have our interests our best at heart. No, they do not. Okay, let me go on. Question. How can any intelligent being register themselves and cast a vote, parentage, names of people alien to themselves and expect lawful sovereign recognition and benefit? To vote in someone else's name is fraud. Can a person who willingly commit fraud charge someone else with human rights violation, which have been falsely labeled as racism? There is no such thing as lawful or legal freedom for any people who are held to service or servitude, who claiming to be free, have not divorced themselves of the slaveholder's national and parentage names. There can be no lawful or legal plebiscite where such fraud is represented. Why have the honor-laden so-called black Negro leaders not informed the state ward so-called black people of the fact of their own violation of law? You be the judge. Who stands to benefit from the continual ignorance? Why is there no civic instruction and qualified disseminated information on what a plebiscite is and what being in one's proper person, in propria persona, which means in one's own proper persons? That's what impropria persona means. It's slave politics in the church. The resulting power and benefit of the color of law voting process is perpetuated in the United States of America. Cooperation remains with the European American colonists. The branded people's fraudulent use of the European nationality and family surname seals their faith as corporate state ward property. Therefore, all political and civic activities initiated by such branded persons becomes purely the acts of a thing as opposed to the rightful acts of a member of the human family. The wars of branded people are legally vested property of those who own the European surnames. Their commerce relating to this chattel activity in all aspects coming under the jurisdiction and enforcement powers of the states. The voting rights is nothing more than a faith, social pacifier, encouraged and propagated among the oppressed by the church and state's ordained leaders. These church and state ordained leaders are overseers and solicit unconscionable amounts of money and service from the poor in the process. In order to control the political and economic activities of the subjugated Moors, the states will not allow any political gathering or activities among the ward slaves except under church authority. The several states under using the black codes have and do monitor all civic activity amongst state wards, using what they call monetary leaders, minority leaders, and helpers. Minority leaders, get that. I already explained to you on Wednesday what minority meant. Okay, those who were there or listening at the time. These agents are used as go-betweens and drain resources from segregated peoples, civic and religious organizations, and groups. Civic activities among slaves were only allowed under a Christian overseer, the church. The overseers were usually a priest, if European, or a preacher, or a reverend, if an enslaved or branded black or Negro. That is the state's past and present black code policy. Overseers are obligated to report any questionable or progress actions or intents the wards and slaves make church or state official. The overseers are usually given token political jobs by factions within the two-party political monopoly. That's talking about your Negro overseers, your so-called black leaders, your so-called people that lead your marches and your protests. Not naming any names, but you know who they are. I ain't got to name them. You know who they are. You know who I'm talking about. All right? Okay, here we go. The overseers are usually, okay, the information gathered is then channeled through the God Old Boys, the Good Old Boys network to state agencies who turn use the force of regulation, taxation, and police powers to neutralize the progress of the slaves. The black code are enforced through color of law and ordinance accordingly. The tradition of all civic and political activities in the state wars labeled Negro, black, and colored, etc., being ordained, regulated, and centered in the church has its origin in the black codes. The black codes originated with the church. The fiend right to vote among the black labeled people as definitely not a free sovereign activity. The same pattern still exists and is operating today. Church, silent orchestrator, overseer, agent, the open, active enforcer, state, the directors. There never was a separate because of the church and state are one. And the result for branded people is blind faith, unfulfilled high hopes, extraordinary monetary costs, loss of lives, packed jails, naive and patient suffering, more blind hope, no rights, police brutality, abusive and arrogant judges, which are magistrates. In reality, they're not judges, they're magistrates, and non-mutual or non-representative government officials, no lawful regress and recourse, and no sovereignty or progress. The long-standing mystery and moral force of the separation of church and state is exposed. The days of superstition, guilt, fear, poverty, hatred, jealousy, competing idol god worship forced on the descendants of the defeated Moors is coming to an expeditious and shameful end. The truth shall make the people free. The spelling is broken. Mission accomplished. The Moabite Moors. The ancient Moabites are the founders of the first civilization on the planet called Earth. They are the mothers and fathers of the human family, Asiatic and Muslims, the direct descendants of the dark olive skin, thick lip, kinky head people are the Moors. Moors in America and the Americas are commonly called Moorish Americans. Americans translated from its origin Al-Moroccan. Al-Moroccan translated as Al, descendant of or down from. The word Al, that's what it means, descendant or down from. Hence, Moorish American means Moors, descendants of Moroccans. The first ancient civilization established on the planet Earth was in central Amexum, or the Yucatan Peninsula, land of Mu. If you read James Churchwell's book called The Children of Mu, it will, get that book. Very interesting book to read if you want to find out more history about our ancient history. Put it that way, the ancient history of the Moors. Okay. Today, Central America is known as Central West Africa, in contemporary times. The Southwest Mexico showing the Amazon River in what is now called South America. The Amazon or the Amazonas River is in the territory known today as Brazil. The ancient Rio Negro enters into the Amazonas at the old city of Manaus. The Rio Negro means the Black River. That's Spanish, or you can say Old Moorish Latin for Black River, Rio Negro. The Amazon Amazing Valley River has a wealth of true history to be revealed to the descendants of the ancient ones. Study, study, study. The five Great Lakes of Northwest Amexum, the five ancient Great Lakes of the Imperial Moabite Moorish Empire of Northwest Amexum, or Lake Superior, Lake Michigan, Lake Huron, Lake Erie, and Lake Ontario. These ancient lakes have a combined surface area of approximately 95,000 square miles. They have supplied fresh water for the civilizations in the Western Hemispheres for compound thousands of years. The ancient ones, Moabites call them the Atomic Lakes, Lacus Ultimus of Mu, the ancient Moabites, the conjoining of the mind and hands of man and the forces of nature, in mathematical union, part of the earth and the Lacus of Autonomous. Autonomous came to be the contemporary word lake. It's derived from the old Moabite Moorish Latin word leku. The Great Lakes are located in the northwest of Mexico. The ancient territory is known today as Northwest Africa or North America. The Great Lakes permanently and rest approximately between 42 degrees north latitude at the south end, ends up at Lake Michigan and Lake Erie, and ended up approximately 48 degrees north latitude at the top of Lake Superior. The Great Lakes longitudinal locations are approximately 93 degrees west longitude at Lake Superior and about 76.5 degrees